there, I'm Valerie, and this is the third installment of Really Irlandaise, and I'm delighted to be joined by two ladies who are big into film and theatre, but I'll probably focus a bit more on the film stuff, and they are Amanda Furter and Jill Brennan.
Hiya.
Hello.
Hello, girls. So, Jill and Amanda are friends. For how long, actually?
Well, after you asked me how we met, it was Tom Skiddoo.
It was Tom Skiddoo.
It was, but it's kind of like a thing. Like, I've always known Jill.
But that's only, what is it, 2 years?
Yeah.
But that feels like, it feels like we've known each other for a very, very long time.
Yeah, we know each other 2 years, but I thought, yeah. Like, it's weird to see you together. It's like you're, like, childhood friends or something.
Well, we do have the crack.
We do.
Amanda works, you're mainly kind of a film producer. That's what I know you of,
yeah.
As.
Yeah.
And then Jill, of course, is a makeup artist. So I suppose I'll start with you because you're the one sitting beside me. That's how I do it. And like, for anybody who doesn't know what like a film producer does, like, you've worked on short films, you've worked on features, and you're working on a feature at the minute. So we can get to all those. But what would... Well, tell me, what does a producer do?
Mainly kind of deal with budgets, organising all the crew, the cast, hiring, sometimes firing, even though I've never had to do that yet.
Mm-hmm. Touch wood.
Touch wood, yeah. You deal with the insurance, or like all the logistical kind of things, the hiring of equipment, like you deal with each department head and make sure that they have everything that they have, that they need. And yeah, you have production meetings and...
So you're juggling a ton of stuff, all in your own?
Yeah, a lot of times it would be in my own, yeah.
You must have a lot of kind of skills to be able to do something like that.
You're right, Jill.
She's shocked you do all this.
Yeah, blown away by it, sorry.
I don't know, I guess it just, I don't see it as... different skills. I see it as one skill, and it's organizing.
Okay, yeah. So would that be the best, probably the most important thing for a producer to have, is be good organizer, is it?
I actually beginning to think more that it's more of a business kind of head, because you would have to deal with as things progress, like you'd need to start dealing with investors and have like a good grasp of law at times, like we were talking earlier on about health and safety, like you need to know all about that as well. So there's a lot more to it as you progress, as projects get bigger.
Okay. And did you study something to get into that, or
producing?
Well,
when I left school, I did theatre production for about a year and a half. Then I did a diploma in event management, and then in 2009, I went back and did the St. John's course, the film course there.
Okay, yeah. So, all of those things really are sort of organisational related.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
But say, like, to do, for example, with health and safety, would you have to go and do courses and or educate yourself up in it, or what?
Yeah, I mean, I have done research on it, like, basic things like first aid and, like, you know, because from working in theatre and just observing people on film sets, like, if someone is about to trip over a wire or someone lays a wire in front of a door... that it's a traffic door, then, like, obviously you're going to have to make sure that it's taped down or that nobody's going to come in and just, like, trip over and whack their head or something.
So it's been copped on, I suppose.
It's a lot of common sense.
Actually, Jill, you are, like, you're an IFTA-nominated makeup artist, and IFTA, for anybody who doesn't know, is the Irish Film and Television Awards thing. And that was only a couple of years ago, isn't
2011.
It? Like, yeah, 2 years ago. I mean, that's really cool, isn't it?
Sure, it's grand. It's kind of one of those things that raises your profile for about 10 minutes, and it's lovely. It's a great crack, but, like, I didn't find that the phone rang anymore afterwards. And what actually happened was that work didn't come as freely for me, because everyone assumed I was mad busy.
Oh.
And I wasn't, because everyone else assumed I was busy. So I did find that there was kind of like a drought work-wise for me for a good 6 months, maybe.
How ironic is
that? Yeah, and I was like a dog.
Yeah, because actually one of the things I was thinking about, right, I mean, you're freelance, aren't you?
Mm,
So, and I found this from different people I've been interviewing about in the arts and stuff, which has its challenges, but also freedom, of course, with it. So how do you get your name out there?
Ah, Janie Mac. Like, I think, for me anyway, I think I've been doing it for yonks.
But how long actually have you been doing it?
I did my first makeup job when I was 16, and then I finished school, and then I actually did the same course as Amanda, which is theatre production over in Stefan Leifa, which, and I think it was, and I did theatre, I did arts administration, and then I, you know, was just kind of trying to gather me skirts about me, you know, and just try and figure out where it is I wanted to be. And I was doing a kind of few bits and pieces of makeup for a buddy, and I was dancing. And then I fell, and that all fell to pieces. And a buddy of mine, who was a director in like, who was studying direction in Dunleary College, said, "I thought you were a makeup artist." And I went, "Take that. Yeah, sure, why not?" So I went down and I stood outside St. John's, like, you know, like it's kind of a film street walker.
Yeah.
And waited. And when I saw lads coming out with cameras, I went over and went, "Hiya, do you need a makeup artist?" And then I went on the sets of those jobs. And then, for instance, the following week, the Boom Op was making a short. So I went on his short. And then before I knew it, I knew all the lads, because I was only like 18, 19, you know.
Crikey.
And then that kind of... And then, of course, all of those lads went on to graduate and maybe stayed in Cork or went on to Dublin. And I would stay in touch with them. Mm. And now, thankfully, a lot of those lads, like this, they're all kind of directors and producing Republic of Telly, and they're now in their careers, so they would remember me kind of stuff.
So you made an opening for yourself.
By literally standing on the road shouting at people.
Well done.
And I think, like...
Did you advise people to do that?
I'd advise people to stay absolutely open-minded. And I think to stay active in their... You know, like, it's not like mindless self-promotion, but it's certainly keeping your finger on the pulse of what's happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, going along certain bits and pieces and figuring out who people are and just...
Bit of networking.
Yeah, bit of networking,
Because, like, I don't know if people appreciate how important makeup is in general and sets. Do you find that?
Shites, dude.
Do you find that, though?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think once you hit a certain, like, level, yes, they all know, because it's their job to know. Mm-hmm. And like anything that is broadcast on television or is in a film or in, like, in cinema, yeah they know, because that's where they are, you know. But when you're on smaller productions, certainly people just kind of think that you can rock up with a camera and
just
then
perfect.
Yeah, and it's, that's just not the case.
Mm. And not even think about like someone's shiny forehead bits. Might be shiny.
Yeah. Actually, because I mean, in all the shorts that you've worked on, Amanda, has there been a makeup artist?
Yeah.
Okay, and would you demand that? Well, not demand, you're not a diva now, but would you say that I think there should be one, is it? Would that be essential?
Yeah, I'd make sure that there's a makeup person.
Yeah. So I just thinking, like, say, I mean, you've worked on a lot of, you've actually worked on an awful lot of stuff that's been on TV, haven't you?
A bit, yeah.
Yeah, name a couple of things so that I can retrieve my memory.
Irish Pictorial Weekly was...
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, with the bad wigs and the...
No way. Did the makeup for that?
I did makeup and hair for that.
No. Oh my God, that's like one of the best programmes that has happened in...
Yeah, like
forever.
Really proud of it. Like,
bloody hell, well done.
Thanks a million.
So was that a laugh a minute on the set?
Oh, amazing. Like the crack. Oh, the crack. Do you know, as I've done the odd few comedies for telly, and it's been the first even nearly successful. And when I say successful, I mean actually funny.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, things are successful whether they're kind of funny or not. But like this was, I laughed a lot. So I was really proud to have been connected with it.
I'm not surprised. It's a great one to do. I bloody love that. So, for example, now, say you rock up onto the set and you bring your gear, I'm assuming you're on your makeup bag.
Perhaps, yeah.
So, do they give you a brief about what it is that they want you to do, or do they leave it with you?
It depends. I mean, like, with Irish Pictorial Weekly, for example, there would have been a production meeting and they would have showed up, because I would be predominantly makeup. But occasionally, Jesus, if you need me to put up some hair in a ponytail, that's grand too, you know.
Very good.
But they went, "We need, like, loads of wigs," and I got a bit of a fright, you know what I mean, because I would like but yeah, so in those situations, absolutely, you'd have to know in advance.
So they give you they said, "Will you get us some wigs?"
Will you get us wigs? And then they gave me a load of they would give me a list of names of people that they're trying to mock or just, you know, jazz up or whatever, and then I have to go and source wigs that are as close to that person as possible.
That's not easy.
No, especially when, and of course your budget has a huge effect on the quality and the quantity of wigs that you can get, you know. But sometimes, absolutely, if you rock up on a short and someone's like, "There's man talking to woman," yeah. can you make them look like a man and a woman? And I go, yeah, it's grand, because we all know what they look like.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, of course, obviously, there's kind of like, this guy has been walking through fields and he's tired and he's sunburnt and he's crying. Then that's dirt, sweat, tears, sunburn. So I'd have to know about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course you do. You have to do your research. Because with both of you, there's a ton of work that goes on in advance that people wouldn't even comprehend, right?
I'd say more so in Amanda's job. I think with mine, it's much more visual, so you can understand, you know.
Yeah, because Amanda, right, like, in a way, your job would be to kind of, the director has got their script, or maybe they wrote it, maybe they didn't, and they have a vision of what it is that they want. So you have to help them make that a reality.
Yeah.
And what's your motivation for, what drives you to do what you do?
I like organising.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously you're into creative stuff too then.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And what's your favourite part of the job?
My favourite part about producing would be, I suppose, like all the prep that you do. It could be a few weeks, it could be a few months. And then once you, like, you bring all the elements together. So when you first start shooting, you go for the very first take, you know that, okay, I've done most of my job to get it to that point. And the director can now start creating what he had. Yeah. What he had down on paper, he can now start putting that onto film.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I really like that kind of, it's a great kind of sense of achievement when you've given everything that I mean, sometimes there's compromises, all right, like with locations, availability and all this kind of stuff. So it mightn't be exactly what they want, but it's the best thing that you can give them.
Yeah,
but I think I've worked with Amanda a few times, and I think that just from a kind of crew point of view, often with, you know, like often you're kind of like a producer's like a lawyer, you know, they come in to try and get whatever they can out of you, you know, and you're just like with Amanda, there's never a feeling like she's trying to do an over on you. It's there's always a kind of like, oh, are they cupcakes? Oh wow, I wasn't expecting a cupcake. Do you know?
She thinks of all. She thinks of people.
Little bits where you just,
I make cupcakes.
And you're just so unexpected that, like, you think, oh, this shoot cares about me.
Yeah.
So then you have a tendency to kind of go above and beyond if you're required to do that.
Yeah.
Because, and also, you know, like, a crew marches on its stomach. Yeah. So, like, if the food is good, even if, like, say, there's no money or the money's a bit bad, if you're fed well, you will just, and you're having a lovely time and you feel like you're having a nice day with your buddies, then like you're going to work harder and you're going to produce a better end piece. Do you know?
Yeah.
And I think that
you get better results. Yeah.
And Amanda's like awesome.
Fair
at
play,
people to,
but I'd say that's just your nature, isn't it, right?
I suppose.
Or do you think about it, or do you think, okay, I'll give them nice food because this, or is it just something you'd naturally do?
No, I mean, I would be conscious that, like, if I'm asking people to work for free, I want to make sure that they're happy. So there is, I always make sure that there's good food there for people, and that there's enough, like, snacks and fruit and, like drinks.
Quality coffee. Yeah. Like, really basic stuff that kind of a lot of other producers wouldn't necessarily think about.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Like, it's not just the instant stuff. I always get, like, fresh coffee or...
Fair,
like,
play to you.
Yeah.
I was actually just, it just popped into my head there. Are most of my makeup artists women?
Yeah.
Does that drive you nuts? Or is it like, oh, yay, all the girls together?
No, it drives me nuts that if... Because it's just... It annoys me because I hate being a stereotype. Like, it really... Like, it rubs me up the wrong way when someone... When a dude will walk on set, and if it's a short, and they'll see that I might be the only female there, and they'll walk up and go, are you makeup, are you?
Oh,
and
Lord.
I have to go, yeah, of course I am. Why can't I be the camera girl?
I know.
Then everyone goes, oh, wow, that's so breaking the bounds. But I am... Yes, you're correct, I am makeup, boo.
Okay.
Do you know, and I think that occasionally when there's a male makeup artist, they get all the work because it's really kind of interesting and bizarre. You know, and I think that...
I do know what you mean.
That sometimes, it can be the crack when you have a load of girls inside in a room doing a load of makeup or whatever, but like...
Do you find that, because you like, it's kind of a personal job, really, putting makeup on somebody, a bit like a hairdresser or someone doing massage, I suppose. It's physical and it's quite, you're in their space.
Yeah.
So I'd be thinking, like, do people get kind of nervous, or do they?
Yeah, I think,
like, you'd have to have, you're very good people skills, I'd say. You're really personable. So, so you obviously need it kind of helps, doesn't it, in your job?
I think that, like, I actually do, and I've said this for a while, my job is 80% psychology. Like, oh, totally. Like, when it's, I think, even on smaller jobs and even on bigger jobs, I would be first contact. with a cast member, because they come in first thing in the morning, and they come in, they come in, they sit in the chair, and they go through the works, and the works would be makeup, hair, costume, or whatever. So if I have some nervous actor coming in, bless their heart, like, I have to immediately ascertain whether or not they want to chat or whether or they're going through their lines in their head.
Yeah.
So I can't be going, where'd you go on your holidays? While they're like, oh, I can't remember my second line. You need to shut up. Do you know? You have to figure out, you have to put them into a position in their head that they are absolutely in the correct place to go and give the best performance that they can.
Very good.
So you can't have stirred things the wrong way, you can't have kind of gotten in their face a bit much or annoyed them, not have eaten a load of garlic. You have to obviously like hygiene and just like pleasantness. And I think that I do think that having a rapport with an actor or a cast member is incredibly important.
Speaking of rapport, I remember at one stage you did the makeup for Terry Wogan.
He was doing
a documentary, very funky documentary, an English one for the BBC, is it, or something?
It was mad. They came over. I was actually a bit thrilled because I got the job for the Cork leg of it, and then we got on very well. And he used to call me Pixie Face, bless him.
And
we went to go around the rest of the country, and I got a call saying, listen, would you go on the rest of it? Because they wanted to get a makeup artist in kind of, you know, Limerick, Galway, Belfast, all the rest of it. And instead, like, he had called in and gone, she's sticking with us. So then he was gassed because they
How
were
How cool
like,
is that, though? Seriously.
I was thrilled, you know, I really was, because then
requested
it was
requested by Terry Wogan.
Yeah, gassed.
He's a legend.
He's lovely. And it was one of those things that, you know, it was like, right, God, we have to find another hotel room, and we have to... And I was like, oh, there's a ruckus, it's gas, you know. Wonderful, incredibly, like, approachably sound, warm, velvety-voiced man, do you know. And I think that sometimes when you work with people, they don't seem to be the people that they are on screen. Terry Wogan absolutely is. He's one of the warmest, most adorable people, and hilariously funny. So,
do you have people sometimes saying to you, would you not get into the commercial side now and do weddings and stuff?
All the time.
Yeah, and how do you fend that off? Because that must irritate you.
That's a very good question. Because sometimes, like, a lot of, I know makeup artists that, they totally do weddings. Totally, because money's money, and shut up. You know, the way, and like, that's fine. But I find that, I find that commercial, like, fashion type makeup and film makeup, they're two entirely different things. They're entirely, entirely different things. And I know that I would probably fail miserably in the fashion world. And I think that someone in fashion wouldn't necessarily be able to deal with, say, the hours of film. And they're very, very different.
Yeah.
And I think that if you want to do weddings, there is a wedding look, and that's fine. And you can just rock up and charge them a squillion euro, which they do, which is ridiculous. But
I know.
And I think that it's hard to say that you don't do weddings without sounding almost pseudo-insulting. And of course, if it's my buddy and I just rock up and I don't give them a present, I just do the makeup, that's cool and I enjoy that. But I think it is a very different animal.
So what would be your dream kind of gig, we'll call it?
I don't know.
Do you not have, like, you know what, people would be like, oh, if only I was, like, singers would be like, I want to play in such and such a venue. And
I would love to do a fantasy film. I mean, but that would be, like, big budgets. But
like Lord of the Rings type thing?
I suppose, yeah. Like, creating characters and getting into detail.
She's like, more fairies. I want more fairies.
Fairies and dragons. But I read a lot of sci-fi and fantasy books, and just because I don't like reading the chick literature novels, because I find that they're very unrealistic. So that's why I go for the obviously unrealistic kind of genre. And yeah, I'd love to do something like that.
Because you were in New Zealand, weren't you? You visited the set of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Was that exciting?
Well, it wasn't like a live set. It was
Where it had to
make you sound very glamorous. I went to their studios or like their little shop and did a day tour of their different locations around Wellington. And it was just fascinating as to how they turned this huge quarry into Helm's Deep. And just the scale of it, I just think it's fascinating. And yeah, I suppose maybe at the moment I'm very much going towards the art department side of things. Just because I really enjoyed doing storage and
storage is this feature.
It's a feature film being made in Cork at the moment. Yeah.
That's there would be a group of techie boys that came together and went, do you know what? We always do the technical bits for everybody else's films and we don't necessarily like the films. We're going to make our own film and make it absolutely beautiful because they're incredible cameras and lights and they have an amazing location and a beautiful story and it's just inspiring. It's so amazing and I'm just so proud of them.
Are you involved in that too?
Yeah.
The two of you are. Oh, that's super. Okay, excellent.
They are incredibly proficient at what they do for a living.
Yeah.
And then they came to, like, and I've got, you know, kind of the little bit of experience or whatever, and so would Amanda. So they came to us and went.
They approached Dee.
Yeah, like in kind of last February. I bumped into one of them on the road and they were like, you know, up to much, Jill-O. And I was like, oh, Janie Mac. And we kind of went ahead with it. And I think it's because there's a very small crew that would know each other very well.
You are the art director, isn't it?
Yeah.
So enlighten me now, if you don't mind. What does an art director do?
Well, on this, I'm kind of doing all of the art stuff. So, like, doing all the props, looking at the set.
Would that be set design and stuff?
Kind of set design, yeah. I don't know if I'm production designer or art director. Production designer would be kind of overall. They'd work very closely with, like, the director of photography and the director and with, like, the heads of departments and whatever to get this kind of look.
Establish a mood and kind of have a colour palette.
A theme, So then that would be kind of across the board for everybody. But art director, I suppose, it wouldn't be to that extent, really.
So give me an example now. Yeah. You were saying something about having to make a window. Fake room, is it? Or
a fake room, yeah. They want a certain view out a window. So the room that has that window that with the view, it's not a bedroom, and that scene in the script is a bedroom. So I have to design a bedroom for this window that they want to view.
That's a bit of a challenge, isn't it? Like, that's more like...
Well, it's not really, because I've already picked out the colours that I want and the look I want and all this kind of stuff. Because what I did is I read the scene a few times, and from chatting to the actor about what he's going through in that scene, because he co-wrote it, but what's happening with them in that scene, then I kind of wanted a certain feel to it, because I think what's happening in the scene is that they've been living in this room or this house. It's a bedroom scene, and they've been living in this house for, I don't know, about a year and a half or whatever. So he was like, oh, I think we should have it like, because they're very poor, and so he was saying, oh, it should be like this. And I was like, well, I said, any girl living there, no matter what, even if they're very poor, there would be feminine elements to it. So that's what, sort of trying to combine the two of them, like
throwing in that cushion, like
a fairy light, like
a crack.
Yeah. So I've been kind of,
because the room is a girl's room, is it?
No, it's their shared bedroom.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just trying to think of their personalities and what someone like them would have in their room.
The film industry in Ireland, it's
mind-blowing. It's growing.
That you were saying that earlier. Yeah. Can you elaborate on that now?
Well, it's like one of the biggest growth industries at the moment in Ireland. I think there's a lot to do with like a lot of PLC courses. It's got a lot to do with new, affordable, accessible cameras that are being brought out by Canon. Yeah. It's got a lot to do with the advent of the iPhone. Like really basic stuff that you can get very, very high quality HD footage. Drop that, you know. Yeah, it's just like amazing.
Yeah.
And I think that the interest, because everyone loves a film, you know, and everyone loves a crack and like, oh, it's a set, is it? And like the support that even people would give on to short films.
Yeah.
Locations wise.
It's been incredible. It's amazing. Stuff that,
yeah, I've spotted that, right.
Yeah.
And what was the most outlandish crowd that you went and you said, can we film here or can we do this here?
I asked for catering for 20 people for two nights and they gave it to me for free.
No.
Yeah.
Fair play.
Yeah. How did you manage that? You don't want to give away your tricks.
No, I'll keep it quiet. So I just approached them and said, look, can you help me out? We're filming locally.
That's remarkable.
Yeah. Mm. And they were like, yeah, no problem.
Very good.
People are very very, very nice. But I mean, if you went to Dublin, it's slightly less because they have a lot more stuff going on up there.
And a lot more people asking the same question.
Yeah.
What can you do for me?
Yeah. A bit of competition.
Mm. But I do think you have to kind of, I suppose, if I'm, as a producer, if I'm approaching somebody and say, asking something from them, for either at a reduced rate or for free, then I feel obliged to give them something back.
And what could you give back then? Besides your name maybe being referenced or in the credits?
Yeah, I suppose that would be the main thing. It would be like, depending on what they give us, like a more prominent place in the credits. Like either the logo or whether we just say thank you or that kind of stuff.
Okay, yeah. Very good. But just go back then to the industry in Ireland. Do you think, do you think the future holds for the industry in Ireland? Can you see it expanding or?
Yeah, both
of you.
Absolutely. Like shooting on film was incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
And you couldn't process it in Ireland. Mm. So you had to send it off and bring it back. And if you had messed it up, you didn't know until you got it back in the post. And stressful. Now you can just film something, look at it, go, I don't like it. And do it again and again and again and again until you're happy with it.
Yeah.
So I think how much cheaper it's become to produce.
Yeah.
And
as you said, like the cameras, like the Canon, they've made it so much more accessible to people.
So what has Ireland got, do you think, that gives it an edge on, would say, any other country?
Creativity, I think.
Creativity. That's lovely to hear. Really?
Yeah.
Fair play, okay.
Why?
I was like, I don't know. I don't know. Because often I think, like Hungary and Poland both kind of have a tendency, like I've been told by other kind of people from, you know, different production companies or whatever, look like Ireland, and except that they don't have to pay the same, they pay a lot less rates-wise over there than they do here. So when it comes to like workforce, yeah, we're reasonably like educated and experienced. Not hella, not very at all by any stretch of the imagination compared to the international market.
Yeah.
I think that in European cinema, we're only trotting after them.
Okay.
I think that there's a very strong theme or vein in the style of film and the kind of the themes of that are involved in Irish film.
I suppose I'd be basing my opinion on like the short films that I've seen.
Okay.
That they're very creative.
Sure.
And that they're good. Like I've seen some really good comedy stories or good drama stories.
Mm.
Like there's one that keeps coming to mind is this is so simply told. What was it? Kevin's birthday or something like that.
Oh.
And about this kid, and it's just it opens up and
I saw that,
this kid, and it zooms back, and you see the parents fighting behind him, and then you see like a bra being thrown on the kid or whatever. I just thought that was brilliant.
Mm. So do you think maybe we need to
broaden the spectrum?
Yeah, a little bit. Maybe it's happening.
I think even when you have lovely things like the Runway and The Guard and Stitches and like they're like you know the
Stitches.
Runway. Oh, Stitches! It's like a comedy horror about a clown.
Ross Noble, he's in it, isn't he?
I believe so.
Yeah.
It's all very like it's brilliant. You know what I mean? It's very well done.
Okay.
And I think that, but that's a new generation of feature producers and directors.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that the older version of like, you know, everyone has to be wearing tweed.
It's like 1950s Ireland.
Yeah. And yes, I think that's happening at a very good time, at the same time that we're growing as an industry. Tudors, Vikings, Camelot, they were all shot in Ireland. Do you know what I mean?
And Game of Thrones is shot in Ireland.
Game of Thrones is shot in Ireland. Yeah. Exactly. And that's huge.
Absolutely.
And it may not be an Irish, like, yeah,
it's solely Irish production.
Exactly. But I think even the fact that Ireland is doing it, like to get a lot of the feature films that Ireland are making off the ground, is a co-production thing.
Mm.
So it might be half an Irish crew and half a Polish crew, and then you shoot half it in Poland, half it in Ireland, and off you go because Ireland doesn't have to fund all of it. I know it is Poland.
Yeah.
So you grab a buddy from Europe and you go and you make a great film. And I think that's a really great kind of avenue. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you have people kind of
partnering.
Like that. Yeah, and they. Realising that you don't that you need the 1.2 the 1.5 million to make something to the level or the standard
internationally
so. Exactly.
So you believe the future is bright?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad to hear that now, because I mean you're involved in it all the time and you are obviously passionate about it, so I think that's a very good place to finish the chat. So thank you, thanks a million, Amanda and Jill. It's been really cool getting your insights and everything. So thank you very much for chatting to me, and best luck at everything.
Thank you.